month or so trying to get them to learn these songs and to teach them about the real meaning of Christmas. We are so, so grateful. So hallelujah. Let's pray. We're going to get into the word. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you into this place. Lord, first and foremost, this is your service. We honor you this morning, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you will do, are going to do, that you have planned for us. Hallelujah. We give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right, I do have a little bit of an echo happening with this, but all right, so if you have been here recently, you know that Pastor Ricky has been teaching about the salvation package. It's sad to say that sometimes people, sometimes at the last days of life, people will receive Jesus, which is a great thing. But the reason they do that is they don't see any benefit of salvation before that. And we know that salvation, there is so much to salvation. And we need to be teaching about what is all involved, that salvation package, this benefit package that God has given us. Yes, I'm on. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. They're telling me to turn something on. Okay, there we go. All right. So let's go over to Psalms 103. And we're going to read 1 through 6 here. Psalms 103, 1 through 6. And they're still working on some things back there. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Can we just say that together? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Sorry, I kind of surprised that on you guys. You weren't quite ready. We didn't quite know what to do with that, but know what? We got through it. Hallelujah. So verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. There are benefits following Jesus. Amen. Amen. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your mouth is renewed, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, there's benefits to following Jesus. Amen. This sermon this morning, I'm going to call it, This Isn't What I Planned. So we're going to look into some different things this morning. It can be a difficult thing when you picture your life one way, and as you're going through it, it doesn't look like the way you planned it. Yeah. Who else feels like that sometimes? It's like, okay, this is not going as planned. This time of year, we're trying to find the perfect gift. We're trying to find a nice outfit to wear to a Christmas party. We're trying to make the perfect Christmas cookies. This time of year, there's a lot of pressure on people's shoulders to try to get things, you know, perfect, or to make sure things are looking nice. And don't you think the God of the universe would have made the day his son was born perfect? Yes. Now, of course, in God's eyes, it was perfect. It was exactly perfect, the way that God had set it up from the beginning of time. Hallelujah. But from our eyes, looking on this side, looking at what happened, it didn't look so perfect. It didn't go as planned, if we can look at it through our point of view. Let's go over to Luke 1:26. And we're going to just take a look at some characters throughout this Christmas story from their point of view. Luke 1:26. And I believe that I have this in the New King James. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, as we look through this, let's look at this with fresh eyes. I know some of these passages can be very familiar, And the kiddos are coming back in. And so just they're going to find their parents. But let's look at this through a fresh point of view. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Glory to God. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 38 here. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I'm like, yes, go Mary. After she says that's like, yes. So she didn't question. She, you know, all of these things that are probably swirling around in her mind, she's not questioning it. She's like, "Be it unto me." Hallelujah. That should be our answer. "Be it unto me, Lord Jesus." Hallelujah. A couple verses down, which we're not going to read through, but she starts singing about all these things that the angel has just told her. I mean, can you imagine an angel coming to you saying, God will give him the throne of his father David? Can you imagine thinking about that? Someone telling you this. Or he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Can you imagine those words that the angel is telling you, and you're trying to process this different, these different things? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. What a amazing thing that she just heard from this angel.
Amen.
She's probably, you know, very excited, planning his birth. I mean, thinking about all these different things about, okay, well, I'm going to have a baby then. All right. And nowadays, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is moms like to have birth plans. Yeah. They like to play soft music while they're in the room. They're, you know, this and that. They'll plan different things. It can really go into a lot of detail of how they want to deliver their child into this world. New moms love to have a birth plan. And I can't imagine what's going through her head as she's trying to plan the Savior's arrival into this world. What kind of birth plan that she has going on in her head. But then reality hits.
Right.
Reality hits. Mary could have been saying, "I'm supposed to be planning a wedding. Lord, what are you thinking? Angel, come back. Hold on. I have another question now. What's supposed to be happening here? Because I'm supposed to be planning a wedding, not planning for a baby. What will Joseph think? God, this is not what I planned. This is not how it's supposed to be. Pregnant and then get married. This is, especially in those days, it's not supposed to go this way. This is not supposed to be planned out this way. What is going on?" Some of us are living our life looking around and saying, "This is not what I had planned." But hold on, there is hope. Amen. Amen. There is hope. Glory to God. We know that in John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly." So if you're going through something, maybe it's been a couple weeks, maybe it's been this whole last year, guess what? God has an abundant life for you. Amen. God has a good life. Amen. For you, and there is hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go down to Luke 2:8. We're going to take a look at the shepherds. Luke 2:8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And I'm just going to stop right there real quick, because we do have to put this in perspective. Shepherds, being a shepherd was one of the lowest job professions that you could have. You're out in the field. It's hard work. It's dirty work. You're taking care of these sheep. You're walking around all day. You're muddy and dirty and smelly. This is one of the lowest professions that you could have. But not only that, these shepherds are working the graveyard shift. Okay? That's where they are in life right now. They are with the sheep in the dirt and the mud in the middle of the night. I wonder if they asked, this is not what I planned for my life. I wonder if that's what they're thinking. But guess what? There's hope, amen. Amen. Verse 9, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, hallelujah, which will be to all people. And there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, just recently, I heard a study on the swaddling clothes. Now, we use the word swaddling as we would swaddle a baby. Yeah. But actually, these clothes that they're talking about that was inside this this stable, this was where the shepherds would actually put the sheep when there was a newborn sheep. These sheep were being raised to be sacrificed on the Passover. This is what the sheep were being used for. And so when the sheep would be born, of course, sheep are very playful and little and they bounce all over the place. Well, the shepherds needed to keep them from being nicked and scraped because there could be no blemish upon them to be used as sacrifice. So what the shepherds used to do is they used to take these rag clothing and wrap them on the legs of the baby sheep until the priest could come and deem them without blemish, and then they could be used. Now, let's continue reading, and then I'll say a little bit more concerning that. But keep that in mind, as when the angel is telling them this about a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, of what they are processing in their head of what that looks like. A baby is going to be wrapped in what they wrap a newborn lamb in. 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him and made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and with all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God with all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Can you imagine these shepherds finding this little baby wrapped in these swaddling clothes, truly the Lamb of God, that will take away the sin of the world?
Amen.
Truly the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Luke 1:6. We're going to look at Zacharias and Elizabeth. We're going to see something in here that I haven't seen before, but it made me chuckle a little bit. So Zacharias and Elizabeth, Luke 1:6, and they were both righteous. Wow, hallelujah. I mean, if that could be, that's something when it's written about you. Can you imagine that? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Amen. My goodness, these people, that's amazing. Hallelujah. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. I can guarantee you when Zacharias and Elizabeth got married, Elizabeth being barren was not in the plan.
Yeah. Amen.
Absolutely, in that day and age, that was not in the plan. They were both righteous. They were blameless. They could have been saying, Lord, this is, we have served you all of our life. We are, you know, righteous in your sight. We are blameless in your sight. Why can we not have a child? I mean,
amen.
That's probably, I mean, how many years did she ask that? So now let's go down to Luke 1:16. Zacharias is in the temple. And he has a visitation of an angel. And we're going to take up right when basically the angel is speaking to him about him having a son. And this is what the angel's saying. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Hallelujah. To turn their hearts, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am old, and look very closely at this, and my wife is well advanced in years." Now I can tell you right there, he is a very wise man. Because he considered himself old, but when he talked about his wife, he changed it and said, "Well advanced in years." So, and I wonder if it went kind of like this. I wonder if he said, "Well, I'm old and she's old," and he's like, "Hold on, is this going to be written in the Word of God forever? Can I retract that just so I can have peace in my household with my wife? Can I change the words to well advanced in years?" I don't know if that happened. Probably not. But glory to God. It tells us they were both old. Amen. So I think that is really funny, but glory to God. His word came to pass. Amen. And she had a son.
Yeah.
And not only that, but she had John the Baptist, if you actually read the whole story. Yeah. And Jesus calls him the greatest prophet of all.
Yeah.
And Matthew 11:11, he calls him the greatest prophet.
Yeah.
So hallelujah. They didn't give up. They didn't let go. They didn't say, she didn't say, "Well, I didn't get pregnant again. I'm just going to walk away from the faith." She didn't do that.
No.
Even though it didn't go as planned, she kept with it. She kept strong. They were righteous. They were blameless. Hallelujah. That tells us that they didn't give up in the things that they know that they needed to do.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Let's go to Matthew 2. So we're not going to give up when things don't go as planned. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. I wonder when they had thought, this is not going as planned. This is not going the way I pictured in my head. In verse 7 it says, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, and I may come worship him also.'" I think it was right about there when they thought, this is getting a little awkward here. This is not, I think the king has other ideas in his head. The intents of his heart were not right. In verse 9, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their country another way." When the wise men didn't make such a wise decision telling the king that there could have been another king in the land, possibly to overthrow him, that wasn't as planned. But they still searched out the Christ. They still searched from what they were trying to find, and they found it. Amen. It's interesting that they could have even planned, maybe with their entourage, "You know what, when we get there to see this new king, Noah, if you go in there first and present this gift, and then we'll maybe someone can play some music, and then Noah will have someone else march in there and place another gift, and maybe had this whole spectacular array of showing these gifts to this new king. But that's not what the word said. I like how it said that in verse 11, when they came into the house, they had saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Amen. So they could have had all of this plan, but when they saw the Christ child, hallelujah, all they could do was fall and worship him.
Yeah.
Glory to God. All they could think about was the Savior of the world right in front of them. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18. We're going to take a look at Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, and I'm going to pause right there. Why didn't the angel come sooner? Because this next verse, the angel comes in and lets Joseph know. Let's read that real quick. So verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because this is what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he will save his people from their sins.
Yeah. Amen.
Why didn't the angel come sooner? Why did it come? Why did the angel come after he had made these plans to divorce her quietly? I mean, there's probably a lot of discussion between his family, between her family, between all of this, of how are we supposed to handle this? This is not supposed to be like this.
Come on.
Why did God wait till after he had made plans to interrupt them? Why did he have to go through all this emotional turmoil about Mary being pregnant and getting divorced? If you think about it, now this is interesting. If you think about it, the greatest hope that the world had ever been given came through the greatest disappointment that Joseph would ever know. Can you imagine that time for him? We could kind of read it this way. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. When Joseph had made up his mind and made all these plans of how he needed to handle this situation, then God interrupts Joseph's plan. But to fulfill his purpose.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's make sure our plans are God's purpose.
Amen.
Part of the salvation package is that God gives you purpose.
Amen.
When you accept Jesus as Lord, you now have purpose to your life.
Amen.
The problem isn't your plans, it's knowing the purpose that God has. Let's line up our plans to God's purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 2:13. Now this is right after the wise men came and visited Mary and Joseph. Matthew 2:13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take your young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod is seeking the young child to destroy him. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under. With everything that Joseph had went through, now this. deciding to be with Mary, even though the culture at the time told him to put her away.
Yeah.
Traveling with Mary pregnant on a donkey. Hello. He went through that. Probably asking God, really, is this your plan? I mean, Mary on a donkey. Feeling like he couldn't provide for her when there was no more room at the inn.
Amen.
Now he's probably thinking it's my fault that she's giving birth to the Son of God in a stable. These are things that probably went through his head.
Yeah. Amen.
But now on top of that, Herod is trying to kill your young child. Maybe the thought came, you're not good enough to actually be able to protect your family from Herod. I mean, Herod the king that has soldiers that are sweeping through the city.
Amen.
And its districts looking for you now.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to protect this child and Mary? Those are things that are in his head. And thank God he did. Hallelujah. And he obeyed the angel. He was probably saying, this isn't what I had planned. If your life isn't going the way you thought in your head, you are in good company. God has a plan and a purpose for you.
Amen.
So just hold on. Keep on going. Don't give up. Follow the plan that God has for you. Amen.
Amen.
And there are good things to come. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. Of course. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
Amen.
They are plans for good and not evil. Even though you might be in the middle of something and you're thinking, what is going on? Lord, I have served you. I have done everything right. And this is happening to me now. God's saying they are plans for good and not evil. Keep on going. Keep on walking. Keep on doing what you know to do. To give you a future. You have a future.
Yes. Amen.
And a hope. To give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Peter 1:3. Pastor Ricky touched on this verse. It's either last week or the week before, but 2 Peter 1:3 says, "For," and this is the Living Bible, "For as you know him better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need for living a truly good life."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, I have a good life. Are you ready for the good life? Maybe you don't feel it right now, but know what? We're going to declare some things this morning that we're ready for the good life, that there's a plan and a purpose and a future and a hope for us. Hallelujah. "For as you know him better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares his own glory and his own goodness with us."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Mary looked like she was a pregnant, unwed teen mom, God knew the truth she was holding, the Savior of the world. Amen.
Amen.
The lowly shepherds, God sent his heavenly host of angels to tell the good news of great joy. Zacharias saw himself as old, but God saw him as the father of the greatest prophet of all, John.
Amen.
The men that looked like fools following a star to find some king in a far-off land, in the end, they were considered wise. Glory to God. When Joseph looked like he was being dishonored by his betrothed, but put aside his plans for what God had for him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's one question this morning. Do you know the Jesus we are talking about?
Amen.
That is the most important question that we need to be answering. Do we know Jesus? Now, there's a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. I mean, there's celebrities that we know about celebrities, but do we know them? Do we know about Jesus or do we know Jesus? We need to get to the position that we know Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The greatest gift ever given was given to you. His name was Jesus. It's time to put away our plans. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to take God's purpose for our life. So, Father God, this morning, We set aside everything that we have been going through. We set aside everything that we have been planning for with this Christmas season coming about. Lord, I thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, to us. For all of the plans that we have put in our head, Lord, we choose right now for your purpose and your plan for our life. If you do not know Jesus as Lord this morning, today's the day. Today is the day to know Jesus. If that is you, please raise your hand. We want to introduce Jesus to you and show you all of the wonderful benefits that Jesus has with his salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, we take our plans and we give them to you right now. Everything that we've been striving for in our own will and our own mind and our own bodies trying to get somewhere that we think that we need to get, Lord, we invite you into our life. We take on your purpose and your plans for us. And if we are in a time of struggle and hurt, and if life isn't going as we had planned, Lord, we just give that to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you are the hope for the world. You are the good news of great joy. And Lord, we know that with you, we have the good life.